SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
I couldn't be religious and gay. It was impossible.
I was being marketed as some sort of like teenage it girl.
When a girl kissed me on my 18th birthday, a whole other world opened up to me.
I was a minor nuisance.
8 Australians will tell you about the choices that have led them to unexpected places.
These are some of the stories you will hear on Let Me Tell You, a podcast where real people tell incredible real stories.
Look for Let Me Tell You and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Labor? Of course you are. Jesus Christ.
You don't own me. I'm not your property. So take a shifty little beady eye off of me.
June.
Lamps
June,
and then
June,
he'll
June,
just...
what's going on with Serena?
She's fine.
Welcome to Eyes on Gilead, a weekly podcast dedicated to The Handmaid's Tale. There is a lot going on in this show, and we think it helps to talk it out after every episode. I'm Fiona Williams, and when I'm not doing this, I'm Head of Curation at SBS On Demand, and I'm joined once again by my friends, colleagues, and fellow resistors, Natalie Handley, Managing Editor of SBS Voices.
Hello.
Hayley Ireland, Channel Manager of SBS On Demand.
Hi.
And Sana Kadar, host of ABC Radio National's All in the Mind.
Hey.
Hello. Boy, am I glad to see you guys. We have just watched episode 7 of season 5 of The Handmaid's Tale. It's a biggie. It's called No Man's Land, and we are about to get into recapping it. It is written by Rachel Shuckert and directed by Natalia Leight. Simple synopsis of this one. It's one line. Alone and isolated.
You want to do this on your own? Do it the fuck alone.
June and Serena must labour together for both to survive.
June, why didn't you kill me?
I didn't want to.
Labour together, huh?
Yeah. And labour together they do. This could be the shortest podcast ever because there's... that is what happens. Agreed. Bye. See you next week. What stood out for everyone? I'm going to go around the room and look at you, Hayley. What stood out for you this week?
I think what stood out for me is I got my wish granted, even if only for a very short amount of time, in that I wanted to see Serena and June back together, working together, hand in hand, for the good of the nation. Or their children, or, you know, the nation's children. And we got it for a very brief moment there in that labor scene where both women were working together and they got to shed all of that Gilead baggage and just be in the moment with each other, working together for something good. That was my highlight.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. They had it and then they lost it. Sana, what about you? What stood out?
Oh, my goodness. I felt so scrambled while watching this episode and I felt scrambled at the end. And I think what stood out to me is getting to see that for all of June's fears of being irretrievably damaged by Gilead, broken, just vengeful and angry, all these things that she was expressing to Luke at the beginning of the season, they're not true, which is what we see in this episode. She still has her humanity. She still has her compassion. The fundamental things that make her good as a human being are still there. And that's a triumph. So that stood out to me.
Yeah. Well said, Natalie. Looking at you, what stood out for you?
Look, for me this week, it actually was the humour. I really didn't expect to laugh as much as I did, considering what an epic episode it was in some ways. There were just lots of funny lines, and they started pretty early on because, come on, like they found a barn. And so I think June says, like...
Maybe they'll have a manger.
Huh? Oh, lovely.
I was thinking it. We were all thinking it, were we? It's yes. Like, oh, God.
And Serena goes, lovely. Which is funny. So, yeah, considering they had all these heart-to-hearts, there actually was a fair bit of humour involved. Even June's expressions, which are normally very angry, you know, and this time she would do like the odd eye roll and it was just hilarious.
Yeah, she had great expressions in this episode. They were awesome.
That side eye when Serena says that he looks like Fred.
Yeah. That killed me. I loved it. Oh, it was so good.
It was good. Double take side eye. Yeah, that was one of mine actually. But on the larger scale, all of the callbacks to all of the moments across the seasons, you know, especially the Holly episode, which has been my standout across the series. But just the way all the roads are leading to this, and that just the journey these two, the metaphorical journey these two have been on together, for the way it stood out. Yeah, I love this episode. So it's all of the callbacks, all of this, we're in, you know, midway, God, nearly at the end of season 5, and we get a handshake, June and June and Serena,
and an apology. We got an apology from Serena. My goodness.
We got a thank you and you're welcome. Yeah. There's a lot. I love the recaps as well. Like, you know, we've watched this show so much and rewatched and all that crap. But I always still watch the recaps and what they show that then hints to the themes that are going to come out in the episode here. So this one was obviously Serena's handmaid's journey with Dr. Allen and the Wheelers, and intercut with when last week June sang to Luke, "I never gave up hope. We knew that we would find each other again." But through the lens of maybe thinking that that's with Serena rather than with Luke, they would find each other again. And how? But it opens literally after the moments of the last episode in a speeding car, a gun's going off, they're driving into a ditch, it's the water's breaking, it's chaos in that car. In watching it, it dawned on me that, although I've just mentioned all of the callbacks, it opens literally the same way as episode 1, season 1 does, in the car with Luke and June and Hannah. And I did one of those side-by-sides that someone who has those skills can do and pop on, just show us literally the car's same framing of the episode. So it's just...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This show has a lot of homework for us. I went back and watched episode 101 again. But, yeah, different people, different set of circumstances, but, you know, it's kind of shot for shot. But this chaotic opening, so June's driving under at gunpoint, Serena's in labour, and then, you know, Serena shoots the window. What's going on? What are our thoughts?
I thought it was interesting that June still thinks that Serena's going to kill her. Like, even though she's driving the car, she hasn't cottoned on, like me last week, has not cottoned on to the fact that Serena's actually in labour. And Serena's still waving the gun around, right? So that's why June gets out of the car and runs. But I did find it funny that Serena was the one who was driving the car when the car got stuck. And I thought, she just hasn't had a lot of practice, you know?
Yeah, that one time in the drop top when they were heading to Canada when Fred let her drive.
She needs to get her hours up.
On the driving in the ditch thing, just again, the callback to episode 101, you know, Luke gets stuck in the ditch and that's how they have to go on foot as well. So, anyway, that was.
Did you remember all that, Fiona, and just go back and fact check? Like, that's incredible that you remembered those parallels.
A bit. Like, it just seemed familiar, but yeah, just right. Like, I remember the ditch thing and then that made me go and rewatch it. Oh, my God, it's shot for shot. But
yeah, wow. Yeah. That's cool. Picking up on June's expressions and some of her delivery in this episode, not the delivery of the baby, notwithstanding her lines, when she says to Serena, "Are you in fucking labor?" That was my first moment of kind of laughing out loud. The way she says that, it's like, if the whole situation is just so ridiculous, but of course this is how it's playing out. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, of course it has to be about Serena again.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Within like 30 seconds of this episode, Serena's already saying, "I'm sorry." She says, like, I think she says, "I'm sorry" twice. And then she says, "June, please." And it's funny because normally how an episode starts is not how it ends. And in some ways that is true with this one, because where the relationship starts with June thinking that Serena's trying to kill her is very different from where it ends. But on the other hand, Serena opens it up with apologizing, and she kind of does a lot of that throughout this episode. She kind of did start how she means to continue.
And that coziness that we sort of spoke to, and that joke about the barn, and that biblical joke triggers the first flashback to that ceremony, the birthing ceremony, a new flashback of a handmate we'd not met, of Clarence. where we get the first, well, there's coziness there. Like, we, you know, we get the nod to them, you know, Serena rolling her eyes about, like, geez, how funny is this ceremony?
I feel like, was that a bit of a revisionist history, or we were just never privy to that level of coziness between them? Because I was like, I'm pretty sure this is new information we're being told. I don't remember ever actually seeing this.
Yeah, no, we hadn't seen that one before. Yeah. But it all gets quite dark soon. But this is where the first idea of this vessel is coming in. That's where Lydia says this.
This vessel of God is ready to bring the fruits of his love into the world. But the gates of heaven do not open without extraordinary effort, do they, girls?
So we're darting back and forth to that sad flashback to the barn, back and forth across this episode. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really need to go blow by blow what literally happens, do we? It's a whole lot of labour and a whole lot of sharing of Hannah's stories as well, I think, you know, with June coming in, reflecting on both her births. But, of course, the Holy One is what we saw, where she did all this alone. But, you know, so she's got history here.
But I think I was reflecting on this, thinking, why did we have the flashbacks? Like, look, partly I enjoyed them because I did want that reminder of what a birth was actually like in Gilead. Mm. But that has like a greater meaning, which comes out later in conversation with Serena and June, which is it was a reminder of what a handmaid actually is, and that they aren't considered people, that they are just a vessel. And we see that pretty early on when this birth goes wrong. And Lydia's reaction to it, which is not that it's a tragedy because there was still a baby. Like, Lydia's reaction was that she has done her duty. So we have this flashback, and I think we do get a bit out of them. One is the relationship between June and Serena, which was interesting. I wondered the same thing, Sana. That was a bit revisionist because they seem to have an understanding together and they seem like they were getting along. So from my understanding in these flashbacks, June's not pregnant yet, right? Like,
no.
And this looks like it's the first birthing scenario that her and Serena are going to together. Is that our takeaway?
Mm.
Because Janine is pregnant, so it's early on in Handmaids, because this, I think it was the second episode Janine gave birth, so it's like pre-our, like very early on. Yeah.
You do get the impression that the whole birthing ceremony is pretty new for everyone. Like, it's not just Serena and June exchanging kind of awkward glances. Everyone looks a little bit uncomfortable and, you know, not at home in the phrases that they're all saying to each other, and they're all still learning the process. So there is this awkwardness around the room that makes the exchange between Serena and June believable, I think, but a little bit at odds to our memory of watching that first season play out and the kind of very harsh treatment that June got early on from Serena.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on there was that other handmaid before June. So I don't, you know, we don't know that story. We don't know how long she was there. It's, you know.
You know, that's an interesting point because that last handmaid came to a very tragic end. And I guess there would have been an element when June came into the house of Serena maybe trying to make the next handmaid feel a little bit more comfortable, or maybe trying a couple of new things to break the tension in the atmosphere.
That's right. Help us settle in. It's not my record. I didn't watch the rest of it. One, I just watched the opening scene. I should have watched a bit more to remember on that dynamic between them.
Yeah.
You know, we do see that one go terribly, sadly wrong. But in the present day, there's the threat. June kind of reflects on Holly / Nicole's birth, and that it turns threatening in the veiled way she says it.
I remember thinking that if anything went wrong, we would die. No one would even know. No one would come looking for us.
And even in the throes of contraction, Serena clocks that, pushes her pretty swiftly away.
Yeah, June's face was hatching a plan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame Serena for misjudging the situation and believing that June would hurt her baby. Like, I, you know, I believed it in that moment where Serena threw her out thinking she was going to kill the baby. I might have done the same.
These are like they're both women who are primed for survival. I think that's probably their two major skills. They know how to survive with whatever life throws at them. And they're both doing that in different ways, you know, and I think like June is still not trusting her and doesn't know where it's going to end. So she's thinking, how can I get out of this situation and how far is she willing to go? Yeah, and Serena will always pick up on when there's a threat to her, you know, and so she figured that out as well.
Well, I also didn't trust June for a moment there when she was holding the baby after the baby was born. She had this weird, bizarre, evil smile on her face and I was like, what the hell is about to go down? It looked so evil.
It was pure, Sana. It was pure.
Oh, my God. No, it turned to pure purity afterwards. But initially, there was like a glint of evil in that eye and that smile. I was so confused by that look.
I know the look you mean. I didn't see it as evil. I thought it was a mixture. Like the worst person in the world has just, you've just helped her do this amazing thing that you know means so much because you've, of all the layered reasons that June, you know, is present for. So it's, I think it's a mixture of awe and hate and love and shock and, you know.
To me, it looks so sinister in that moment.
100%, Sana. I thought the same thing. I thought she's going to take that baby and run. This is her chance to, like, give some punishment to Serena. And she can see that, like, she's holding the thing that is all Serena has ever wanted.
Yeah.
All of Serena's, like, hope and desire is all in this baby which she's now holding, and she has the ability to like destroy that for her.
Yeah, exactly.
What that looks like, I don't think she's going to destroy the baby, you know, but like, but the look on her face was like, I can if I want to, it's right here. How funny that we've had different readings of that. Yeah, I thought it was very sinister.
But yeah, totally.
All right, we'll go to our corners on that one. Then we're back to another flashback. We're all over the place. Okay, whatever, it doesn't matter. We all know what happened in this episode. We're just going to talk to things as we think of them. But one point when we're talking about the flashback, the girls, it's, you know, Janine and Alma and Brianna.
I got a bit teary when I saw Brianna, actually. Mm. That was kind of caught me by surprise, even though, of course, they would have been there. Yeah, I got sad when I saw them.
Yeah, I miss them.
Yeah. And, of course, Janine is pregnant watching all of this too, that reveal of the timeline. Yeah, having to watch that gruesome homemade cesarean that didn't care for the life of the mother in the aftermath. It's terrible. But obviously the wives get going when the going gets tough. They so quickly rushed out of the room. Yeah, that's horrendous. So
can I just say on that, how that birth goes wrong? So I guess this is one of the things I find hard to understand about Gilead is, on the one hand, this series we've seen hospital scenes and the hospitals look advanced.
Yes.
But then when it comes to birth, which is so important to them, it's all done incredibly naturally at home. And when it goes wrong, it seems so, I don't know, just so primitive in some ways, you know, like why are they not taking advantage of all the medical facilities that they actually have? And then I wonder about Alanis, who has got this warped birthing suite in the attic of her house, but she loves Gilead. I'm like, is she aware that that birthing suite would not be an option at her house in Gilead?
Well, we've never seen anyone but a handmaid give birth. I mean, they're not, then don't care about the lives of the handmaids. I mean, the circumstances in which they got pregnant.
Oh, my gosh, you're right, Fiona. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's different if an actual commander's wife is giving birth. Maybe it's a whole different scenario.
I'm sure Rosie will have a different situation.
Interesting. Like a lot of the modern technology around birthing is to reduce the death rate of the mothers, not just the babies. So if you don't care about the mothers, if they're handmaids, then it kind of makes sense that you would prioritize a home birth over like antibiotics for the mother or something like that.
But surely if the birth rate is so low and so many of the births are ending in stillbirths and, you know, there's all these complications happening. I'm with you, Natalie. I'm like, why would they take a gamble with every birth that does happen? It seems a bit crazy, like just like ideological sort of hellbent on this natural thing, regardless of if it delivers what they really need it to.
And this is where we stumble because we're trying to put logic and reason onto something which in reality just doesn't exist.
There are like real world callbacks to this with, you know, quite fundamentalist religious groups who shun science and medicine. It's not without precedent.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the whole show is not without precedent, is it?
Yeah.
But on the hospital point, you know, we've seen, as you say, Nat, we've seen hospital rooms where they do, you know, put the handmaids on incubators. We've just seen, well, we had of Matthew a few years ago, and obviously Esther's being kept alive in order to have the baby. And, you know, we've seen hospital machines that beep out Belinda Carlisle songs. But Serena's reaction to being in a hospital was interesting, and, you know, it's so medical.
We got to see all her ancillary views around her, like, fundamental religious views, right? Like, her anti-formula views, her anti-antibiotic views. So I thought that was interesting because she's not been out of Gilead where it would be necessary to voice these opinions until now, right? So we've never gotten a sense of this before.
Yeah, quite right. And, I mean, she scoffs at evolution as well. That was
I love that one. But you totally forgot who she was talking to for a moment there when she shared that. She, like, was just going girlfriend to girlfriend and then was like, oh, yeah, hang on, no, this,
there this is Serena.
It ain't evolution.
Yeah, exactly. I did laugh at that one too. And, you know, so then we get to that scene and, you know, props to Yvonne Strahovski for the acting in this one and all of the groans. I mean, we could do a montage of... Good Lord, all that. All of that.
I always feel sorry for actors who have to give birth on TV after they've given birth in real life. So I just think, man, they just went through it, you know? Now they've got to go through it again. So, yes, props to her.
That's proper method. And the name is Noah, Savior of Humanity. No pressure, kid. what are our responses to Serena being a mother? It happened. Calling him Noah, calling herself the Ark.
I feel like Noah's been up high in the, like, popular names list in recent years as well. So I thought that was an interesting decision for her to, like, also choose something that is a popular secular name as well as religious one.
Oh my God, it was on my short list of boy names when I was pregnant. That's so funny. Yes, that's very true.
I thought it was just sort of fitting on the episode theme, really, because this is an episode where we finally tap into Serena's humanity, or frankly, she taps into her own humanity. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, June is challenged with her own humanity. So yeah, that's what I took on my second watch. The first watch, I was just like, Noah, really? second watch, I was like, oh, okay, this is what this is all about.
Can I mention one thing? When they're sitting around after having given birth and they're chatting away, one thing that Serena asks June is, why didn't you kill me back when you had the chance? And June says, because I didn't want to. And this basically lays to rest my theory that she always had it in her to kill Serena, which actually, do you know what? I still think if push came to shove and she had to, she could kill Serena. But she explicitly says that she didn't want to. She didn't want to go there. And so I thought that was really interesting to hear because my ideas on June's motivation and what she's capable of are different to what she was voicing in this scene anyways.
Yeah, I think so. It's like there has been kind of this narrative, oh, June's gone bad and, you know, everyone in her life has thought that and she's thought that of herself as well. But, yeah, you know, she has retained that humanity that she thought she'd lost, like you were saying just then, Matt. Yeah, and that comes after she does question Serena, you know, was it worth it? And it's an open-ended question, you know, like how much of everything was it worth? And Serena's cradling her newborn and says, right now, I think it was.
That qualifier was interesting. The fact that you said right now, right now, I think it was. And I thought, yeah, I hope you change your mind on that.
Yeah, it was an interesting scene to watch with conflicting feelings, as we've all been having, because I found I was really happy for Serena and able to, like, enjoy her getting this experience and feel for her as she's going through this very painful redemptive arc. But I feel like it's okay to have those feelings about Serena at the same time as we can see June sort of sitting hunched up over on the hay, watching Serena get to enjoy her child while she's, you know, remembering and recalling things about the children that she no longer has. And I think it's kind of okay to be there enjoying this moment with Serena as well as being angry about everything and feeling for June being the better woman in this whole episode with everything she does for Serena. So, yeah, it was a really great scene to watch.
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
I guess my counterpoint to that is I was getting swept up in that as well, Haiti, and then I had to like remind myself later, I just thought, like, someone who we didn't see in this episode is Esther. And Esther right now is handcuffed to a bed and she is now carrying her rapist baby and she's going to have to deliver that to term and God knows what happens afterwards. Like, that is like, and the fact that we know that that's what Esther's going through right now is that we know we actually have an experience of a handmaid and how they are experiencing pregnancy and birth in Gilead versus the one that Serena gets. And yes, it's still traumatic for her, you know, and she's dehydrated and whatever. But yeah, I still have a hard time letting her enjoy the experience.
I don't think it's a traumatic experience for her. I think it was like the perfect birth, even though it was in maybe substandard conditions without any water. Like, she gets this, you know, in Serena's mind, this perfect home birth with no intervention, with the bloody sunset that never seems to finish, that goes through that was shining in the bun. Like, she kind of gets her ideal birth until she gets to the hospital. But yeah, no, I take your point. And I think in a way I felt kind of like I was in June's position in this episode, where there were moments when I could just be there in the moment, experiencing just the pure joy of a birth, but also, you know, make those choices along the way to be the better person in the situation. And as much as we don't have to forgive Serena for anything she's done, and she's done all these horrible things, we don't have to sink to her level and do those things back to her.
Yeah, I'm with you, Heidi, on this. Like, because, yeah, it's, well, I think the nod to Esther, well, there's a bit of looking like Esther at the end there screaming in the bed, but in a different way, like in a different way to that moment of release that you mentioned last week, Nat. But, you know, June encapsulates in putting it back to Serena that I'm not going to sink to your level. Like, this is why I'm who I am and you who you are. We are not the same, even though you might have had very light level suggestions that you might become a handmaid. Yeah, we are not the same, lady. But, yeah, in the moment I very much felt, like I said, I got emotional. I think it was for knowing Serena's desperation to be a mother, like to go to the extents of the world she built is horrific, what she did with it, but it came from that original, you know, despair at, well, not being able to have a child. So I think it was in that moment you could appreciate that when she said, I can't believe you're here. I wanted you so much. But when you then step back and think it's Serena Joy Waterford, yeah, that comes with it, with everything else. But, you know, in that moment, it just that incredible time those two have just experienced. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, this is precisely why I felt so scrambled watching this episode, for all the reasons you've outlined, and I won't, you know, go over the same points. But that's also what makes the ending so conflicting and delicious and all sorts of things, because how long have we waited to see Serena feel the pain of being separated the way June was from her children? You know, like, how long have we wanted that? And then we get that and June gets that. June's always wanted justice, but it doesn't feel as good as it should. It feels terrible, and it's all these sorts of conflicting things. And sorry, I've jumped to the end now, but yeah, I left that scene thinking, oh my God, I don't know what I feel. I don't know if the next couple of days before we record is going to be enough time for me to figure out what I feel either.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I kind of had a blank page for a while.
I had minimal notes from this episode. I really was like, oh my goodness, where am I? Where's my head?
Yeah, it's feelings, I think, rather than kind of thoughts.
Going back to June saying, was it all worth it? And Serena says, right now, I think it was. Like, that was probably the harshest line of the whole episode for me. And as I said, I do hope she changes her mind on that, but I understand the post-birth hormones and everything going on, but I still found that really, really hard to hear.
When they're talking about the kind of person that Noah will become, and June tells her, well, it depends on what you teach him and what you tell him is his to take, I think.
Yes.
To which her response is almost immediately that she wants him to have everything. Yes. It's just like an aeroplane flying over her head. Did you miss the point?
Yeah.
They're just moments like that.
But she clearly hasn't, because right after that she's offering the baby to June and saying, your husband's a good man, he should raise him.
And I think that's what's about this scene. Like, you think they've had this big moment. She understands they've finally reached common ground, but then you realise, no, she's missed it because she still can't see June's humanity in this pitch to take my baby because there is nowhere for me now. I think when she asked June, why didn't you shoot me, and June revealed that she ultimately is a good person, what did Serena take from that? Because I think that she thought that's where she was building this angel narrative, and like that's where she was kind of crafting this biblical, like not a reasonable, not seeing the person standing in front of her, but trying to make this make sense in her worldview. So just you see where they're missing each other there, and June for sure sees that she can't shake this God's will vessel, the phony ceremonial speak that was so much a part of the world that they were forced to share.
Yeah, and I think Serena is just carrying all of this internalized misogyny, the same idea that not just handmaids but all women are just vessels to a point and beyond that can't be seen as real people or whole people, and she's willing to put herself in that position and offer up her child to June because she thinks she's done. She thinks her role's done and that it, you know, it only goes so far. So there is a lot of internalized misogyny that Serena is working through, and I think that explains some of her odd responses at these moments of connection between her and June in this scene.
Yeah, and you see it slowly dawn on June where, you know, she says God's will, a vessel, and like she hasn't had the benefit of the flashbacks we've been watching through this episode where those words are throwing around, but, you know, she lived them in the storyline. This is where it then leads to the speech she gives her that is a callback to both of their screaming matches as part of their feud that culminates in the "Do you understand me?" But it's a calm and sad and kind line reading this time as opposed to the two we've seen in years past. I loved that.
The same line used to build women up instead of break them apart.
I'm actually a bit lost. Which line are you talking about?
Yeah.
Where she says, "You're the only voice he recognises. You love him and you wanted him so much. You're his mother and he belongs with you. That is God's will. Do you understand me?" And she touches her face.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. I did not catch that at all. You're so correct. Wow. I thought that ended up, that is God's will. I completely did not remember that she said, "Do you understand me?"
We get the chin touch and the "Do you understand me?"
Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Do you understand me?
Third time.
Oh, my God.
This is a charm. Yeah.
This is why we need this podcast, you know?
Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah, no, I loved it. It was just beautiful. You know, they flipped, they flopped, and then that landed for this moment that Haiti appreciates for that slight time. They've come together and then it goes. And then we're in the hospital from that scene, I think. Yeah, then obviously she convinces her to get in the car and... Doesn't that work out well?
Saves her life and then dooms her life.
Well, calls Luke and Luke's it up. Luke isn't quite at the same place. He dobs her in.
Well, Luke is using his famous administrative powers.
Agreed.
I think, you know, people have struggled watching Handmaids over the seasons whether June is someone to get behind or not. And you see sort of, I've seen a bit of frustration, you know, online at some times with June's behaviour and her decisions. And I think the way that they handled this is actually kind of perfect. It was very clever, you know, full marks in that, in this sense, we get to have that feeling of Luke, which is so annoyed and wanting Serena to get her just desserts. And so we get to have that feeling through him of like, yes, you know, like he wants her to know this is how it feels. And we can fully understand that and also appreciate that Luke is having his power moment. And at the same time, June gets to not be the bad guy, you know. She's actually still the one trying to save and help. So she still has hero status, you know. So I think that the way that they handled that was actually very good.
Yeah, totally agree.
This episode delivered so many things on our checklist of things we wanted to see in this season, didn't it? We saw June and Serena reunited working together. We saw June... like find her humanity again and do the right thing. We saw Luke affect some kind of change. Mm-hmm. and we're about to see Serena get some kind of comeuppance, even if we're feeling a little bit torn about it. Like, wow, I've ticked four things on my list, which only has about five things on it.
What's the fifth thing?
Uh-oh. Well.
Getting Hannah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. Three more episodes. Who knows? Oh, three more episodes and another season. So cool, you jets.
I'm pretty sure that box is not going to be ticked.
Yeah. Although friend of the show, Yanling Chang, does write the next episode. And that, to me, she does write a good Hannah one. I don't know. I don't know. And Luke's quote as well. At last, she knows what it feels like.
She knows what it feels like.
I think I've read that kind of desire in a lot of tweets I've read. in people using the hashtag I was on Gilead of all the payback that everyone wants for Serena. So,
well, she's now got the full experience. We've been seeing her getting a little bit of the experience of being a handmaid, and it's just been getting more and more and more. And just when you think it's over, she ends up getting the full experience of being the one left screaming on the bed for her baby.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of that sort of bait and switch from the trailer, because I thought a woman being handcuffed to a bed and screaming was going to be that traumatic scene with Esther. Yeah. And instead, it's Serena, which we did not see coming.
Did not pick that, that's for sure. And again, another callback to first episode ever, you know, June's pleading, please don't take my baby. And I mean, all the handmaids would have said that. Yeah, but just like it's a line for line again. So, yeah, just this show, it's all the way, you know, it's so good at just considering human nature and like natural instinctive responses, you know, not necessarily the ones you'd have, but quite often the ones you think you might have. And it just, you know, good and bad. And the way one small action can, you know, upset your moral compass and you, like, no one is inherently good or bad. We've said this the whole way through, but, you know, and I think that all shows in this episode and the way this season's been building to that. And just looking at the difference between justice and revenge, like just what the difference is between getting revenge but also getting justice. And, you know, the way it was all about revenge last season, the way that culminated. But, you know, we thought there was a bit of that too, but is it justice, and what is justice, and how do Luke and June differ on that too? Yeah, love where this is going. It's all unfamiliar territory, but yeah, here for all of it. I mentioned the director's name before, Natalia Leite, and the way they choose directors for the material is great, and often use directors who've maybe done one or two features, and that's the case of Natalia Leite. And she did a great film about 5 years ago called MFA, which was dropped right in the middle of the Me Too movement at the start, early days, and it's got a whole survivor vigilante storyline to it, kind of a different but in a similar vein to like A Promising Young Woman kind of thing. It's a survivor who then embarks on a vigilante kind of a path for rapist. She's raped on a date and he winds up dead, and then she gets a taste for it, so then starts dishing it out. Anyway, I digress, but she has her own experiences in that. She's a survivor herself, and I think it, you know, the way that she directs the next one too. So, yeah, the way they choose the female directors to really touch in this subject matter, the way that June says, "I don't want your apology," like to Serena in that speech. It's a callback to the way Liz Garbus was saying about the finale last year, that it's sometimes the apology that makes survivors lash out. But here it went somewhere different.
I say, imagine being the director called in for the two episodes where Serena is finally getting her comeuppance, which we've been looking forward to for so long, you know, and it's finally here.
Yeah, and it's a very different kind of way of getting there. Yeah.
Mm. Just as a little side note on absence and then presence of men in this episode, because the episode is called No Man's Land.
Yes.
And of course, the No Man's Land is the bulk of the episode that we spend literally in No Man's Land with these two women. And then the big kind of downer at the end of the episode is when they enter back into scenes with men. So it's Luke instigating immigration to come and arrest Serena. And it's always notable who in these positions of power they send in, you know, whether it's all women, like at the ICC. But in this scene, it's definitely all men coming in to arrest Serena. I thought that was an interesting little flip at the end.
Good call. And in the flashback, when they arrive, Serena says,
"I'm so sorry to be late. Fred needed some encouragement before his address to the council.
You know how men can be.
Yeah, little nod to it there too. And, I mean, Serena does say...
No man's land.
No man's land. So I don't make the rules, but you do have to have a drink when in you're watching a film or an episode or something where they say the name. This episode is called No Man's Land.
And I guess, Natalie, you mentioned how it was sort of genius that the writers had Luke sort of instigate the baby being taken away from Serena so that we get to experience that revenge, justice through him, but also absolving June of any of that tarnish. But of course, also it had to be a man almost, you know, in keeping with like the world that we're in. After all the talk we've had about like this bond between mother and child, and that is God's will and should not be broken. Of course, it was going to be a guy, you know, even though it's like lovely Luke in the end, but of course it was going to be a guy who breaks that bond by the end of the show.
Put two women in a barn and separate them from the world and they will find each other's humanity. Insert some men back into the situation and it all goes to hell.
You're forgetting little Noah.
He was the man that was there the whole time.
Sorry, Noah. Sorry.
I mean, you know, Luke is just also avenging the loss of his daughter. So he's got his reasons, of course.
Yeah, you can understand his impulse to dob her in. He hasn't had this transformative experience with Serena. He doesn't have the history with her. She's the woman who baited both of them down the lens of the camera and has been holding their daughter captive for years in a regime that, you know, she helped uphold, wasn't responsible for all of it, but, you know, she's very much a symbol of it and he's got ready access to dobbing her in. But the way the guards come in to that breaker sound, it was Canadian immigration, not guardians, but...
I didn't hear the sound.
Could you tell the difference? I could not tell the difference.
Good catch.
I was wondering if it was going to be the Wheelers, you know. I had to rewatch that end where they said where the baby was going. It was going to Child Protective Services. And I think I was so panicked I'd misheard services as being like the Wheelers. No. So I do wonder which hospital Serena went to. So clearly not the one where her potential date.
Where Dr. Allen works.
So I guess I'm now looking ahead at like what the next episode could have. But yeah, I do wonder, are the Wheelers out of the picture? Are they now coming back in? Will they be a taunting force for Serena still? Or has she actually managed to bypass them?
Yeah, I feel like she'll be out of their reach in the arms of immigration now, as will Noah.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
I hope so.
There is also this hanging question that Tuello put to her earlier in the season that she could come back to him and claim asylum. And, you know, I wonder if there is any opportunity or if that window has closed.
Well, we know he's got a soft spot for her. You know?
Did he say that? Did he make that offer? It felt final when he was saying, are you sure you want this? And then she said yes. So I feel like that closed the door on that. But who knows? It is Tuello. He's a bit sweet on her.
Yeah, I guess that's what I wasn't sure about, like how final that was.
Guys, speaking of Tuello, he's got the USB.
Yes.
Hello. Yes. What is going to come of this? This is amazing.
That was our little nugget of information, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Luke is actually successful. You know, he managed to complete his Gilead mission, you know. Full marks Luke in the end for all my criticism.
So we're going to find something out about Hannah soon.
Yeah. Weird they didn't get searched, though, by Wheeler's guards, but... Drop the ball there, Ryan. Where to now? Time for predictions. Where to now? There are only 3 episodes left of this season. Can you believe it?
Ooh.
The USB. Are we going to go open up some files?
Yeah, that's the best I got at the moment. Last episode, I was so certain we were going to see the birth this episode. I was right about that. I have no idea what's next, apart from the USB is going to lead to some revelations and information.
Revelations. Yeah, agreed. Well, only one way to find out. Thanks for listening. We hope that helped. We're off to go repair a windscreen, I guess. but really, we're just going to wait for episode 8. And that drops Wednesdays at SBS On Demand. Drops a little earlier there, so get in on it. And it screens on SBS on Thursdays. Thank you to my co-hosts for talking us through all of that. Thank you, Sana Kadar, Natalie Hanley, and Haiti Island. And thank you for listening. We can't wait to see what you make of this episode and the journey of June Osborne and Serena Joy Waterford's relationship. Reach out to us on Twitter because we can't wait to hear. You can find me at anything but Fifi and use that hashtag #EyesOnGilead. What tweets have we noticed this week? Has anyone got any tweets they want to call out from reactions to last week's big episode?
It's been lots of good ones. People have been finding wonderful meanings. As we know, there is so much in this show and we just don't have all the time in the world to catch them all. Yes. And people are doing a wonderful job. I'm saying that and I don't have an example to hand.
There's one from Rose Custard. She tweets, "The warm milk is a sly reference to the Testaments where Aunt Lydia will often have it as her beverage of choice at Ardua Hall," which I completely had forgotten about. Good call.
Same. Wow, well done. Deep cut.
What a great pickup. I'm going to have to reread the book, I think.
Yeah.
Aunt Lydia really loves that warm milk.
Yeah, a lot of tweets about milk. Love them all. Thank you kindly. So keep those coming. They are all great. Where can we find you guys on Twitter? Sana, where can we find you?
At Sana_Kadar.
Natalie, where can we find you?
At Natalie Hambly.
And Haiti, what about you?
At Haiti Island.
And remember to use that hashtag EyesOnGilead. And while we have you, by all means, leave a review and give us a rating on the podcast app you're listening to us on. It helps other people to find the show. Look, we just can't wait for episode 8. So we will see you then. And Eyes on Gilead is produced by me, Fiona Williams, and edited and mixed by Jeremy Wilmot. Until next time, don't let the bastards grind you down.
You don't own me. I'm not your property. So take your dirty, filthy, stinking eyes off me.
Oh, was that it? Oh.
No. Oh.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.